Hey, good morning, everybody. Can everybody hear me okay? Just wanted to check that first. Beautiful sun, and thank you. Well, welcome to the Sunday morning gathering. Great to see everyone here. I'd like to start out, maybe take a few minutes to introduce ourselves, say hi, and let each other know a little bit about ourselves, where we're from, maybe. Type it up on the board if you want. And I've got the Awakening Together song I can play, Lynn, ready to go. If that's okay, and I'm going to do mute by handy, so I think we're all set. So let's move into the welcoming. Adjusting the mic there a little bit. Ah, what a beautiful Sunday morning. This is great. Yes, I had to just take a moment to receive the introduction from our dear Lynn Johnson as Reverend J. McCormick. That was kind of funny to hear. But it's all good. It's about a year and a half we all studied together, Jackie and I and several others in our program with the ministry here in Awakening Together. So it's been an amazing journey, and this is actually my first
gathering service after receiving the ordination from Awakening Together. So this is great. So great to hear Lynn and Lewis speaking about a similar topic, it sounds like, in their time on the Rising Sun before the gathering today. So that's a great lead-in. And so let's start by saying the statement of purpose of this, of the Awakening Together. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And Barb is our admin today, and she'll also be doing the reading today. And I'm going to pick a core value to speak of as well. Awakening Together is an organization that has five core values that came through Regina Dawn Akers a few years ago, before we were, just as we were starting the organization. And the one I picked was this one. This is, we realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. And so in joining in Awakening Together, we seek to practice this core value when people do share, that even if they're sharing something that maybe doesn't go along exactly with what you understand from your perspective and your spiritual growth and your maybe religious beliefs or whatever it is, tradition you come from, that you listen with an open mind and you try to hear the truth in it, to receive the essence of what's being said and maybe sort of translate it into your own truth, still keeping that essence of the universal truth, because we all speak truth in different ways. And I believe that each one of us is put in the path of the other, perhaps to hear or to say something to the other that will in some way benefit the other. And I think that that perspective is so helpful for me, because I think there was a time when I first started listening to The Room several years ago where I would get into little judgments about things people said when I heard them speak. And what I did is I practiced just listening with an open mind, and what it got to the point where literally anyone could talk, any teacher, any subject, and I could glean from it some sort of universal truth, and I didn't have to move into any sort of judgment. And I let go of that judgment of hearing other people and what their perspectives are, because it isn't necessarily something that you have to judge, really. You don't have to. Good news. You can just hear it and receive the truth from it. Now, we have a few announcements this morning. Some exciting things have developed here with Awakening Together. We have elected three new trustees, Carrie Christensen, Sonia Spahn, and Gloria Wells. And they will be joining us on the Member Board of Trustees, which I'm a member. I serve as the webmaster and also administrate the scholarship funds for all of the Awakening Together events that we have. So I've known Carrie for quite a while. I don't know Sonia or Gloria too much, but I look forward to getting to know them much better as we have our now monthly and at the end of the summer bi-monthly, two times a month, or I should say bi-weekly, every 2 weeks, meetings of the member board of directors. And so we welcome them, and I'm sure their contributions will be welcomed, and they bring a wonderful light and consciousness to the organization and to the board. So I'm sure lots of wonderful things will develop from that. And so I wanted to thank everybody that did vote. In terms of elections, we had over 10% of the entire membership of now over 500 people actually voting. We had more than 50 votes. And from a voting perspective, to get more than 10% of the vote is actually pretty good. So that's kind of exciting. There are a lot of people did want to vote and participate, so that's great. And hey, Sonia, good to see you here. Look forward to getting to know you much more. Also, a few other announcements is registration for the introduction to NTI closes this upcoming Tuesday on the 28th, just in a few days. And there's two classes. One of them is on Tuesday evenings, which is the there's an ongoing series of classes on Tuesday evenings from 7:30 to 9:30. That's Eastern time. And that homework begins on the 29th. That's next week. Facilitator is Jacqueline Eckert. And here in the room as More Thoughtless Now is her handle. In the room as a Pal Talk member. And on Wednesday morning, this begins on August 5th all the way through September 9th from 10 a.m. to noon. So if you can't do the evenings and you would like a morning, you could sign up for the Wednesday class. And also taught by Jacqueline Eckert. And it is 6 weeks long and the cost is $120. Now this is neat because Jackie is going to be facilitating and teaching two sections. One night and then the other one right the next morning. So I know for me as a facilitator of a lot of the different MPP courses, it's been really amazing to go through the courses again. I've learned a great deal more and have so much more to share and receive too from all the participants. It's just an amazing journey. There was I had such a wonderful experience with this Buddhism course with the five participants that were in that. There was some real amazing transformations and overcoming of habits and healing of perceptions and miracles, and just a lot of amazing transformations occurred in that Buddhist class, and I'm sure that people will just get a lot more out of this NTI course too, and just really it's good stuff. NTI is an amazing book, really one of its kind, and Regina's done the whole world a great service in bringing this to us. And if you have not explored NTI, I welcome you to study it if you feel called to do so. It's an amazing insight on the Bible and all of the chapters in the New Testament in a way that you may have always suspected and maybe not quite seen the same way, and it just opens your eyes to a lot of deeper insight into the teachings from the Bible and the New Testament. And so you can get these details on the website if you have a chance. Barb, you can put the link up there on the board. So going into the next actually I'm going to have a couple more announcements. One is scholarships for our Awakening Together Fall Retreat in Colorado Springs, which is going to be awesome because it's what we call the stacked retreat. Like, it's a triple header. There's, Jan Frazier and Regina in the middle, and then Ventino. You can come to one or all three. They're just going to be amazing. And basically, we have a lot of retreat funds available for scholarships. So we haven't received too many applications. If you do feel like you want to go and you just can't afford it, please fill out an application. They are also online right on the same page as the event under our events menu, 2015 Fall Retreats. So we're going to now wrap up the announcements, and I'll turn it over to Lynn to play our opening song. Lynn, the musical director, it's all yours.
Faces. find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad.
Yes, let's enlarge in our world, let's enlarge in our minds to include God in our thoughts. As we go into the invocation prayer, let's just take a moment and close our eyes and move within. I give my acknowledgement, dear God, that you are the Spirit that is within me, that I am within and is a part of myself, and I am within you. I know that you will be released, unless I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release, because I recognize that we will be released together. In this I choose to see me and you, and to see no separation between me and you. In this I know I am healed, dear God. Amen. Okay, let's move into our reading. This is by Barb DeWater, and she will be reading section 5 of chapter 18 of The Course in Miracles. Some of you might have heard of that book before. Ha ha. Like everyone here. Hello. And that's on page 3, too, if you want to follow along. And I'm not sure if Barb's planning to read the entire section, but I'll leave that up to her discretion. I kind of asked her to sort of go within and open the Course in Miracles at a place that's sort of Holy Spirit guided opening. And she did that. This was yesterday. This is because nothing, I was trying to think of, like, what do I want my topic to be this gathering, and my mind just didn't want to plan it. After listening to Dove's service last week, that's basically impossible, right? to plan it. So I just remained open. I said, you know what, we're going to go with just the reader, which is, I was guided to ask Barb, and she did that, and more or less she's kind of provided the topic for today's gathering. So it was kind of a very spontaneous Holy Spirit guided just happening that we even are talking about this today at all. So I will turn it over to you, Barb.
Uh, hope you can hear me okay. Yeah, great. Thanks, Jacqueline. I just wanted to say that Jay was going to mention this, but I just wanted to do this because, reminder to Lynn as well, is I'll be talking about the retreat that I just attended with Jan Frazier. And I have talked about it before, but it wasn't recorded, and Regina, I think, wanted it to be recorded. So after the service, I'm going to talk for about a half an hour about my experience seeing Jan Frazier just recently at a retreat. So anyway, on with the reading. And so I actually went within myself, like, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to give to Jay? And so I just kind of sat down and got quiet, and you know, the first thing came really quickly. I said, what am I supposed to do here? And the first thing that came to my mind was happiness. And that kind of made looking into A Course in Miracles a little easier. So it came to my mind rather than Jay opening the book. It just came to me. And so that's what I'm reading from. All good. Yes, all good. So here's the happy dream. I'm going to read most of it, but not all of it. The happy dream. Prepare you now for the undoing of what never was. If you already understood the difference between truth and illusion, the atonement would have no meaning. The holy instant, the holy relationship, the Holy Spirit's teaching, and all the means by which salvation is accomplished would have no purpose. For they are all but aspects of the plan to change your dreams of fear to happy dreams, from which you waken easily to knowledge. Put yourself not in charge of this, for you cannot distinguish between advance and retreat. Some of your greatest advances you have judged as failures, and some of your deepest retreats you have evaluated as success. Going down a little bit further, from a couple paragraphs later to paragraph 4, it says, happy dreams come true, not because they are dreams, but only because they are happy. And so they must be loving. Their message is, thy will be done, and not, I want it otherwise. The alignment of means and purpose is an undertaking impossible for you to understand. You do not even realize you have accepted the Holy Spirit's purpose as your own. And you would merely bring unholy means to its accomplishment. The little faith it needed to change the purpose is all that is required to receive the means and use them. It is no dream to love your brother as yourself, nor is your holy relationship a dream. All that remains of dreams within it is that it is still a special relationship. Yet it is very useful to the Holy Spirit, who has a special function here. It will become the happy dream through which he can spread joy to thousands on thousands who believe that love is fear, not happiness. Let him fulfill the function that he gave to your relationship by accepting it for you. And nothing will be wanting that would make of it what he would have it be. When you feel the holiness of your relationship is threatened by anything, Stop instantly and offer the Holy Spirit your willingness, in spite of fear, to let Him exchange this instant for the Holy One that you would rather have. I'll read that again. When you feel the holiness of your relationship is threatened by anything, stop instantly and offer the Holy Spirit your willingness, in spite of fear, to let Him exchange the instant for the Holy One that you would rather have. He will never fail at this. But forget not that your relationship is one, and so it must be that whatever threatens the peace of one is an equal threat to the other. The power of joining its blessing lies in the fact that it is now impossible for you or your brother to experience fear alone, or to attempt to deal with it alone. Never believe that this is necessary or even possible. Yet just as this is impossible, so is it equally impossible that the holy instant come to either of you without the other. And it will come to both at the request of either. Whoever is saner at the time the threat is perceived should remember how deep is his indebtedness to the other, and how much gratitude is due him, and be glad that he can pay his debt by bringing happiness to both. Let him remember this and say, I desire this holy instant for myself, that I may share it with my brother whom I love. It is not possible that I can have it without him, or he without me. Yet it is wholly possible for us to share it now. And so I choose this instant as the one to offer to the Holy Spirit, that his blessing may descend on us and keep us both in peace. That is the end of the reading. And thank you, Jay, for sharing your topic with me. I mean, me sharing it with you. So thank you so much, and turning the mic back to Jay.
Yes, thank you, Barb. You're welcome. That was a beautiful reading. I really received that deeply as you read it. You know, one thing that you think of when you think of the happy life, or in the parlance of the Course in Miracles, it refers to the life here we all live as a dream, kind of like the nursery rhyme, row, 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 row your boat gently down the stream. Life is but a dream. It didn't talk about here in the Course in Miracles how the best way to get to your happy life is to make sure things go your way and make sure you're only around people that offer you things that are in accordance with your every preference, and say only the things that would be flattering to you, and make sure that every physical comfort is met. However, those things may occur. It's the attachment we have to everything in our life that determines whether we're going to be happy or not. Because we have a choice, just like was being read in the whoever was saner at the time comment. We can experience happiness temporarily, keeping our attachments and maintaining that sense of separation through sort of an implied contract, or we can experience happiness by letting go of our attachments and reveal a love that's there, and discover what love is there. One thing I've noticed lately a lot is how very important relationship is to uncovering and experiencing love. and how, in fact, the central theme of the happy dream in this section of this book talks about relationship, specifically holy relationship. And that what is real, and in fact not a dream at all, is to love your brother as yourself. And that's more difficult to do when that brother is disagreeing with you, right? Or feeling, or you feel offended by something someone said, or you feel judged, or you are yourself are inclined to want to throw out a correction to a brother. I'm going to correct you, you stupid idiot. I am going to tell you what's really going on here. You see, these kinds of moments when you're in these states of either judging or being judged and feeling offended or whatever, you're not happy. You're in disrupted state. You don't feel one with your brother. And at that moment, we've made something more important than love, haven't we? We've tried to substitute our own agendas with that of love. And in the song that Lynn played before we went into that next section of the service, talked about, remember our life is sacred. Remember your life is sacred. And so I try to remember and practice when I am feeling that feeling of either being judged or judging myself for doing something that inadvertently offended someone or whatever the situation was, to just be with it and to just stop the judgment. Because there's no amount of fixing that can change and correct that you can do that will heal the situation. All I can do is let it just be and open my mind and return my priorities to that loving consciousness, which you could call that the holy relationship. And is happiness, you know, what does it mean to live a happy life? Is this a happiness we're talking about where we're excited like at a party and dancing and happy? Sure, that's happy. Or we get a great achievement that makes us very happy, or we receive a lot of money, or we meet somebody that we feel really good with. All the relationship in this world of form and a world of dream is very all the events and circumstances and conditions, our bodies age, our desires change, our houses fall apart. Everything is transitory, as Barb put up on the board. So happiness at best is untrustworthy here. At best, temporary. However, when we have a relationship with another, that is real. The love found between the two is real, because that is the act of joining. Even in symbolic form, let's say this is a dream. My relationship to you is in relationship to. That is what is real. Because the Christ in you is both wholly human and wholly divine. One thing we can get into in studying the Course in Miracles is poo-pooing the physical, as seeing that it's not real, and there can be some sort of dismissing judgmental thoughts about the physical or the what we see as life, and we want to just be spiritual and divine. Well, actually, Christ is both human and divine, because the dream that exists in our mind exists in a mind that exists within God. So there's no separation there. You know, in the state of being divine, nothing is unknown. All is known. You know, and yet when we identify as being human, everything seems to have been forgotten, right? So we're relearning, we're unlearning, however you think of it, through relationship, through this joining. And at every moment in our relationships, to our own thinking, to all those that we have a loving connection with in our life, we have a choice to, at that moment of judgment coming up, we have a moment to either make that more important than love or to make love more important. And if we want to be happy, we have to always and consistently choose to the other. And I've got to be willing to let go of my judgments to be in that state of love. And if we identify with our beliefs as who we are, we're going to throw away love and keep our belief. Now, that kind of love that we think we can throw away, that we think is temporary, that's not really love. All we've done is covered up our awareness of love temporarily, like a little blanket. And then we can just let that blanket just be blown off of us like the wind. And it can be uncovered again. Ah, there's love. It was under the blanket. I see you now. You're back again. How did that happen? You know, when the loving feelings return is when we've set our judgments aside. When the loving feelings return, we've set our judgments aside. How can we really know God that is within if everything we identify with as being human we don't see as divine? You know, I again go back to the song, is everything we experience here is sacred. Union. And that's what religion means if you study the Latin root of it. Ligio means to join. Re means again. So it's to join again in awareness of the presence of love. Right? Doesn't require any brick and mortar buildings you have to go into or organizations. Even though organizations are formed, where Awakening Together is an organization. You know, all the churches of the world are organizations. There's nothing wrong with that. But the state of love is not found in any form. It's found within self through connection to all. That's where it's found. And how can we join with anything without God? God is the very essence of union. It's like, you know, the saying of God is love. God is love. Love is impossible without that connection, without that union. And the same is really true for what we think of as relationship. Two equal things with the idea that there is complete equity in the state of love. That's true relationship, and that's true happiness. That's living a happy life, is being in a state of loving equity with everyone and everything around you. So it could be said that if God is love, that God is in every relationship. You know, and it's through this very sort of contrast teaching that the Holy Spirit teaches us all. That's the main teaching of how we receive teachings. We know love through the absence of chaos. Chaos is destroyed when love is present. We know connection when separation is lost. We understand what one thing is based on what it's not. And so it's so key and so important to remember that this relationship within me that is connected to everyone here and everything, and I hope everyone can just feel that for a minute, exists apart from any of the specifics, right? It exists apart from the specific preferences you have, or what you did or didn't say to me last week, or how you did or didn't give me the correct gift at our anniversary or my birthday or what you did 5 years ago, that it exists apart from any of those particulars, any of our memory associations, that this relationship, this love, this happiness of life that we can feel is generalized. It exists as a life that is between us, and yet not either one of us. And that's how I can be happy. Because getting in touch with that is getting in touch with God, in my view. That is God. That love that exists independent of either one of us, this special, sacred, wonderful thing, is the reality. And as such, it is not a part of the particulars of each, and yet it includes all of them, in like that embracing attitude, right? And so, you know, we think of it, you know, oftentimes in terms of bodies, and we love each other's bodies, and that's where our ego mind wants to go. But when we just focus on the feeling and the consciousness of the love beyond that, we then can, we can love everybody. We don't have to just reserve that for just one person. I mean, that's kind of like what Lynn was talking about. You know, it's its own thing. This happiness, this love, this God presence that's there in that space. You know, and this brings up the whole idea that Buddhists talk about, which is a course that I just facilitated, the interdependent co-arisings, the idea that nothing exists truly independent of another thing. You know, the microphone I'm speaking in now exists because I've got a computer to plug it into, which was manufactured in China or assembled in the U.S. or wherever it was made. Everything's all based on something else. I can't be without you seeing me. If you're not there to see me, who am I? If there's not a closed-in space, what does an open space mean? You know that, but the love that exists between you and me can't exist without both of us, right? Nothing can exist without everything present. And how can we know that love can exist apart from the object that we're affectionate towards? How can we know that it exists? We do know. We feel it in our hearts, not in our brains. We feel it in our heart. You know, the heart's the first thing to beat in the fetus. It beats after just like 10 days. There's already a little heart beating in the bodily form that's created in the womb of the mother. And so what is it that we want to cherish and love? I mean, when we think of happiness and living this happy life, we think of love, don't we? That's what truly fulfills us. And that's the independent existence that exists apart from any of the particulars. And so, you know, it's like thinking of it as gathering together this love rather than collecting it and trying to put it on a static shelf that we're going to create safety around and try to enshrine in some brick and mortar way. You know, it's alive. Love is present, is in the now. It's here. It's not stuck in memory or off in fantasy. It's here. It's now. It is the life that exists independent of the people. It is the light that exists apart from the particulars. It's the thing, the unknowable, the mystery. That is what it is. And if we dwell on that and we concentrate on that and we exist within that, I know for me it helps me to let go of my judgments when I'm in any sort of conflict. And I think of all of any sort of reaction that comes up in me, I practice as a way of like letting it go, healing, like sort of purification practice like Michael Singer talks about. That's how I look at all reactions that would come up within me as a type of purification where I want to let them go. I'd rather be in love. I don't want to dwell in the conflict. You know, and this, you know, brings up the idea of, you know, when we look out onto the world, our perception, our the way we see people, situations, our lives, do we see them as safe and secure and something we can count on and all that? Well, of course not. Bodies and the things of the world are all transitory. You can't count on them. Even if a person is completely true to you their whole life, in every possible imaginable way, their body will still pass away. The love exists apart from what we see. And I guess in the sense of the body-mind, it's a mystery, right? It's that mystery, just like the Awakening song talks about. And so, of course, this is a choice to make, we have every time. To be in this presence of this love that exists apart from the particulars, apart from the individuals, that exists beyond any bodies, any time. And we can all, like, sort of be inspired to be the sane one in the interaction, right? So we can give that happiness and be that happiness, which is love, which is God. So every time there is that love between any two people, there is God there. The joining, the oneness, is God. And it happens apart from either person, doesn't it? It's something of itself, right? And so let's just take that in our minds and let's be with this space and move into a meditation and a contemplation of these ideas into yourself. And I'll turn the mic over to Lynn to play some music. And if you feel so guided to donate, you can to the church. We exist off the funds from the classes and the donations. Barb can put up the link. So let's move into a time of just contemplation of this love that exists independent of anyone and just be with this space. So turning over to you, Lynn.
I am happy even before I have a reason. I am full of light. I am happy even before I have a reason. I am full of light.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Lynn. That was beautiful. I'm happy before I have a reason. Good idea. Because that is implying that happiness and love is apart from the particulars, isn't it? That's a really good illustration of that idea, that poem that was sung. So let's open up now for the next 15-20 minutes or so to the room to have any discussion and additional ideas that may have been brought up in your mind as you were listening to the reading or any of the sharing during the gathering. I'm very interested in, would love to hear from a lot of people here, actually. And Sonia writes, thank you, Jay. Perfect teaching, perfect reading, and perfect song. That's great. You're seeing perfection. That's wonderful. I join you in that for sure. Jackie, giving the mic to you.
Good morning. Thank you, Jay. It was beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Can you guys hear me okay? Okay, good. It was beautiful. I'm teaching ACIM again at my local Unity Church, looking at these issues all over again. And, this idea that God is love is not surprising, and it's not surprising that that you experience this love in relationships, because what I'm learning, what I'm coming to find, and what I'm experiencing in my own personal experience is that the nature of love is to expand, or in human parlance, to share. So that it can only be experienced in relationship, because it's what relationship is, love is. You know, it's that sharing. It's through the expansion that we experience it. And so by only what I extend to my brother is what I learn. And the Course tells us, teach what you would learn. So by expanding to my brother, by sharing with my brother, I strengthen the love that I am. And and to do it, to the judgment, of course, is the ego's domain. It's the contraction. I try and share miserliness, selfishness, and that's really a contraction, and it's the opposite of what we are. So I'm not able to experience the love when I'm doing the ego thing. So keep on expanding. Thanks, Jay, for sharing this morning.
that's funny. You can't really extend those other qualities, can you? That's the opposite of extending. It's like saying a very radical, active pacifist or a real generous, it just doesn't fit. It's just not, you're either being, withholding, or we're extending. It's one or the other. And, there's actually another book I've been studying too, called A Course of Love, actually, you talked about study group, Jackie. I was actually, every 2 weeks I'm going to a study group now to share thoughts and discussions about the book, which is very much an extension of A Course in Miracles in just about every way. It's more like a restatement of A Course in Miracles in a different language, different approach. And Barb wrote on the board, the cool thing is that it's always there, love. And I would like to ask Barb if she wanted to share on her thoughts about love being always there. It'd be interesting to hear. ACOL is definitely all about relationship, for sure. It's the extending part. And it's really all of the ideas of the Course in Miracles in there. It's very much Jesus speaking, and after you really get into the book, you realize that it's for real. It's not some channeled thing or some. It's definitely for real. So let me turn the mic over to Lynn Chesmahenev.
Thank you so much, Jay. And yeah, it's this. If you really read or really study and understand A Course in Miracles, it's all about relationship. And in fact, that's the only thing that it's about is the relationship. And you know, even if it says that you have to accept the atonement for yourself, that's your only really function or need. But the atonement is returning everything back to its real true relationship. All the relationships that we have in this world are artificial. Even the most dear relationships, the mother to the child, brother to the sister, the husband to the wife, all of these relationships that we look at are all based on some kind of artificial construct that is not really true. Sonia says, when I read in the Course that the Holy Spirit abides in relationships and not in the pages of the book, it was such a shock because, yes, the Holy Spirit abides in the relationship. That's the only thing that's real. Love is the only thing that's real. And, I've been looking at a lot of thoughts that people have about God, that God is to be feared, and feared is a part of our love for God. And I recognize it cannot happen. Fear and love can't exist in the same place. And so when I look at these relationships, like relationships with my kids or my husband or my neighbors or whatever, how much of that relationship is based on fear rather than love? And so just looking at that and asking the questions, we were talking about Byron Katie earlier with Lewis, the questions, is it true? And all of the fearful thoughts cannot possibly be true if love is real, if God is real. All those fearful thoughts cannot be true. So any thought that's in your imagination about your relationship that has even a tinge of fear in it cannot be real. And so to be able to just hold up love, look to love, as Robin Busfield keeps saying, Lee Jompolsky told her, just love, just all you have to do is love, or look for love, or be in love, or think of love. That's really the only relationship that you should have to anything. And I'm not shooting on people. I'm just saying it's the only real relationship that's possible. And even though in this world we really don't experience love, because it's basically impossible for the ego or the small self to even know what love is or experience love. It's all conditional, correct. And so to be, happy, to live in the happy dream is really to live in a place where the field is only love. And if there's anything else, then, you just recognize that it can't possibly be. This cannot be. And so, love, as we used to say, is the glue that holds the atoms together. It really is the thing that makes everything be, because it is the substance of God, and God is love. And, if you really realize this, you are full of light. You are full of love. And as Jacqueline says, the only way to experience love is to extend it. And, the daily quote Barb has posted, "May God break my heart so completely that the whole world falls in." And that's what it is. It's the cracks in the world that let the light get in, that let the love get in. And man, once you realize that, you're going to take a hammer to that cracked world and bust it loose, because that's the only way that we are going to know how where the light is. So beautiful topic, wonderful teaching this morning, Jay and Barb, and everyone here in the room. You know, this is, you know, what a glorious day we're having. So thank you, Jay, and anybody else that wants to share, please put your hand up.
Yeah, that was beautiful, Lynn. That was a great reminder about the things we see are not where the love exists. It's between us and the things we see that love exists. It's the life that is truly of God, that is not of this world, that is there between us in the space, in the crack, in the short distance between the seeming reality. You know, that's what I love about the idea that love exists apart from particulars. Love has to be open, and just like Jackie was saying, you can't extend closeness. You can't extend being miserly or withholding. You have to be open. And I'll turn the mic over to Dove.
All right, thank you so much, Jay. That was like a wonderful Sunday service on happiness. The funny thing is, I just started focusing on happiness, too. It came to me just yesterday, and I want to share this, that, you know, like lesson 200, the final lesson of part one of the workbook, one of the 20 most powerful lessons in the course, and if you do any one of those 20, it's the entire course. It's the one that says, there is no peace but the peace of God. I realize that the word happiness and peace are really synonymous and the same. First of all, Jesus actually says that in the course. He says, I guess, you know, when you're happy, you're peaceful, and when you're peaceful, you're happy. That's a direct quote from John Mundy as well. If you substitute the word happiness for the word peace in that final lesson, there is no happiness but the happiness of God. It actually has an enormous value to you, because throughout the course it's telling you, how else can you be happy except to know that you're not here in this world of illusion? Because the world itself is an illusion. It's a world of differences. And it's actually somebody sharing here from the course yesterday, I forgot who, it doesn't really matter, but it basically says, this is hell. Yeah, we're going through hell, but to awaken and remember that you're not really here, certainly your body is here, your ego is here, your personality is here, and you know, they begin in time and they end in time, they don't really have any value. What God creates is not here. Yeah, so we really have never really left home. It is a journey without distance. How else can you be happy except to remember that you rest in God? I rest. Resting is another word for God, literally. You don't have to say rest in God. That's kind of redundant. Just stilling my mind, quieting my thoughts, I am resting now. And how else can you be happy, truly, except to rest right now and be happy? Thank you so much, Jay. Thank you all.
Thank you for sharing that, Dove. And I just had a thought come into my mind as you were sharing. And the thought came into my mind that said, if I forget about hell, I remember heaven. That's the thought that came to me as I was listening to you. So if I forget about my judgments, then I remember love. If I forget about my negative attitude, I remember acceptance. And that's such a great reminder for that. And so let's wrap things up. We have expressed the gratitude here. I thank you for all being here. It was a really great honor to be with you. And everyone out listening on the radio, too, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your joining here with us in the presence. And I hope it was inspirational and brought you into the presence of that greater loving happiness that exists between us all. And yet, not any one individual, but in fact, all of us. All of us are dependent and only exist because everyone else does too. So that love has to be shared, it has to be given, it has to be extended. So, for everyone here and all those that participated, thank you for joining in the sharing part of the service. And Iris has put a word up on the board that says, "You reminded me of what is important," and a little heart. So I have reminded myself, and I hope that all are reminded, and I hope we all are reminded of what is important, especially at those times that we're tempted to judge and tempted to withhold. So on the thought of that love that is present between us all and within us all and shared by all, let's turn the mic back over to Lynn and for the closing song. Peace to everyone.
I don't care.
Yes, okay. Yeah.